Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here. When Brother Murray called me the other day and asked if I would preach, and then he also mentioned they're going to have this service for their first grandchild, I felt rather privileged, and I may just add a few more things yet. He mentioned that I had part in their wedding, and I remember, just came back to my memory this morning, back quite a number of years ago, I was in El Salvador under the AMA Mission Board, and Brother Murray called me from Guatemala, and he said they're over there adopting a son, and if they could, maybe we could meet somewhere along the border in Salvador and have a little chat. Well, it just didn't seem to work out with our schedules, and it didn't happen. And then a few years ago, I can't remember exactly, around 9 or so, I suppose, I was in Belize for a mission trip. I wasn't on the board anymore, but they asked me to fill in for someone. And they were telling me about a little baby that was born in that there in Belize City, and that they think maybe some of my relatives are going to adopt it. Well, I hadn't known about it, and that was okay. But it ended up, before I left that city, that I had the privilege of holding Caleb in my arms, not as big as he is today. And so I held him before they did. And so I count that kind of special as well. And so it's a blessing to be here and to see some of these changes take place, and we trust they're all to the glory of God. And as I was contemplating this morning, and our ministers at home have been pretty diligent in teaching about homes, families, and the Christian school, and they say, they've made this comment several times, it takes a community to raise a family or to operate a school, and you demonstrated that yesterday. And I was blessed as I saw all these children get together and with their teachers and sing a song. You know, that's as God continues to lead and direct, they are the church of tomorrow, leaders of tomorrow, I should say. They're part of the church today, and that's a blessing. So as I was thinking, this is the first child for Lawrence. It's the first grandchild for Murray's and the first great-grandchild for Robert's. And I told him that I've had great-grandchildren for a long time already. I remember after our first grandson was born, he was so special. And I remember having visitors that really didn't know everything about the history of this. And they said, "Is that your grandchild?" I said, "No, it's our great-grandson." And they looked at me, you know, "How old are you?" I mean, I could just see those little computers going up there trying to figure me out. Then finally, I would conclude with this. If you would be around him a while, I think you would think he's pretty great as well. And so I tell people we haven't had any grandchildren. They're all great-grandchildren. Be that as it may, the reality is that it's a blessing. And I'd like to say this. This is also, as I mentioned, all these firsts. Now you have another child in your midst as a congregation. And this is a blessing. Our brother William shared this morning about the church being laborers together and how one of us can really not get that much accomplished, but as we are together. And I think that's such a blessing to bring a young baby to church and pray for him and the parents, and then gather around them as a congregation and help them in this journey of life. If God blesses and they continue to be a part of the church here, they will need your help a long time to walk along beside them. And I was blessed some years ago, and maybe I shouldn't take time to share this, but I think I will. I was asked to have bishop in another community about 400 miles from home, and one of the first weddings that I was asked to perform, the bride and groom were both from that congregation. And they were both born, so to speak, in that congregation. But they also both served in different places in volunteer service. And so when they had the wedding, they invited their friends from all over. And some of the folks that where this child, these two children were born in, raised in, were not invited to the wedding because they didn't have room. And, you know, my heart kind of went out to those that when they were brought in that church, they probably that Sunday morning went and welcomed them and oohed and aahed over them and saw them grow up. But you know what happened? 6 months later, after that couple got married, their house burned down to the ground. They lost everything. Now who came and gathered around them and helped them? It was the con. It was the church. And that blessed me. I have no problem inviting others. But I believe the local body is what we should support and encourage for the glory of God. The other morning, since I'm here, I was looking at Psalms, and I didn't even think about this occasion today, but I started reading this Psalm 110, and I'm going to read this to begin with. This is not, 113. This is not part of my message, but I was blessed as I read this. Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raised up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. And then we have this special verse. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Now we recognize that not all sisters can claim that promise. In our own family we have that, of not having children. But I believe God has a purpose for them as well. And as well as those of you that are not married, that don't have that blessing, God has a purpose for you. God has created us, and we're all placed on this earth with different gifts, different callings. But I was especially blessed when I thought of this occasion. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. And then he says, praise ye the Lord. And I trust you mothers are joyful. I know it's a 7-24-hour thing, but it is a tremendous blessing to have these gifts of God. So I want you to know as parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents, as a church, as a body of believers, this young lad is a gift from God to you. If you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy. Now, I know it's chapter 3. Maybe the preachers are saying I'm picking on them because that's part of the epistolal teachings. But that's not my motive this morning. I would like for us to read this scripture from verse 10 through 17 and look at it very seriously. I've entitled my message, The Internal Word of God. We are living in a day when there are those who think all Scripture is not inspired. They think a portion of this is truly inspired from God, like the teachings of Jesus, but the rest of it is Paul or Peter or Matthew and is not really the inspired Word of God. Well, I trust this morning that it's not necessary for me to emphasize to you that this book, from cover to cover, is the inspired Word of God. I remember some years ago as a young minister, we had a couple that were married in our congregation, and they felt led of the Lord to go on the mission field. And they felt, which we did not object to, but they felt they needed to go to EMC, Eastern Mennonite College at that time, to get more education. And we weren't overly excited about it, but we did take some effort to teach, had somebody come in teach about the dangers of college and et cetera, and we tried to support them the best we could. I remember so well, one day this young man came to me and he said that, you know, the Bible is like any other book. We're taught this in college, where it's like any other book, you have to compare it with others. I looked at him and he said, there's nothing to compare the Bible with. It's the Word of God. The other is man's writings. And they finally left our church, landed in different places. After a number of years, when their children were getting older and they were concerned about a solid congregation for their family, they've moved back into our community. And today they are a tremendous blessing. Two of their sons are ordained to the ministry, one in our congregation. And so I'm thankful that he has left that teaching and he's convinced that it is from one cover to the other, the inspired Word of God. All right, let's read verses 10 through 17. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm not sure how long ago it's been, but I think it was probably somewhere in the middle to late 70s. I think we were here in this community to visit Robert and his family. And from here, we went to Arkansas to visit my wife, relative there that was living there. We attended a Mennonite church service on Sunday evening, and I don't remember what all the service contained, but a lay brother got up and had devotions, and he read the scripture. I had kind of forgot about it, but it came back to my memory. And he made this observation that the Word of God is 100% of what we need. And he goes on to, and then he went on to say these different things that he mentions here. It's proper doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. He said we need 25% of those four things, which makes it 100% complete. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, I believe the Word of God is what we need. And I believe it is truly inspired, as it says here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I trust that we are convinced of that. And but today we're living in a world when people are trying to decide what is really important. And they say, one of our former presidents, who is known, I just saw this in our paper here a few months ago, he's known to be a wonderful Sunday school teacher. And I even know Anabaptists that have stopped there to listen to him teach. And he made this conclusion. He said a few years ago, he believed that same-sex marriage was was not right. It was against the Bible. But he's now saying that he understands Jesus really did not teach against that. But Paul did, but Jesus didn't. So I think it is all right to have same-sex marriage. God forbid. God forbid. Who are we to decide which portion? This morning, I trust we're all convinced that this Word of God is 100% inspired by God. And I recently use a one-year Bible. And recently I came across in the Old Testament, and I went back and tried my best to find it, but I could not find it. But it might have been another translation. But it brought out this. Moses gathered before the people, and he instructed them and to turn from their wicked ways and to turn back from God. And then at the end of that verse it said, as God told him. And I was just blessed as I read that. And many times in reading the Old Testament, I find scriptures where it mentions about God and being inspired. And Brother Murray already used Isaiah 40. But I'm still going to read one verse at least. I was blessed by that in verse 8 of chapter 40. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now the thing that blesses me about this verse, I'm not sure if I've quite noticed this before the way it is. The truth is that the word of God will stand forever. But it says this, the word of our God. Now the question is he your God? The word is going to stand forever. But is he your God? Do you look to him, to his word, for direction in this day in which we're living in? What a blessing as we think about that. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Are we allowing it to come into our hearts and be a sword? And, it says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And it's powerful, it's quick, and it's sharper. And we certainly praise God for that. Now I'd like to turn to 1 Peter. I've been immensely blessed by a Peter and his writings. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 began reading in verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Then in verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. You want your soul to be purified? Then we need to avail ourselves to the truth of the gospel. Through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. I was reading an article in a local paper some time ago, and it was a writer, I'm not sure he was a professing Christian or not, but he was pointing out two Protestant famous preachers. And he was saying how the one thinks the other one is, kind of departing from the Word of God. And the other one probably thought the same thing. And in this troubled day that we're living in, with a lot of corruption and people turning away from God, I thought it was a shame that they had to put it in the paper that Christians are not getting along and are against each other. But then I thought about it. My head started to just drop a little bit. You know, we Anabaptists have some of the same problems, do we not? We dicker over some little things sometimes, and it is sure a poor testimony to the world we live around. May God help us. As it says here, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another. How? With a pure heart, fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I will say this to you preaching brethren. Preach the word. You know, I've used examples already. Some of you might have done it, you know, about the ostrich, how he buries his head in the sand. And one well-meaning preacher came to me afterwards and he said, "That's a myth. Look in the encyclopedia." It was. He said, "That's not the way they do. But we think it's kind of handy. But if we use the word of God, we can rest assured it's truth. It's truth. It will not change. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached." All right, now I'd like to turn to 2 Peter. Now, I think we're all familiar with Peter. He was one of those 12 disciples. And he was one of those that said that he's not going to forsake Jesus. And then Jesus warned him that before the cock crows, he's going to deny him three times. And he did. But what did Peter do? He went out and he wept bitterly. And later, when Jesus met him there at the shore, and he asked him three times, "Peter, dost thou love me?" And then Peter, of course, wrote 1 and 2 Peter. And I'm just so blessed by his writing. And now I'd like to turn to chapter 1. And there again, I'd like to read 10 through 15. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do those things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Then Peter says this, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." Now, I knew that you knew the word of God is eternal. It doesn't change. But don't we need to hear it sometimes over and over again? I kind of challenged one of our choristers in our church when they give programs. I said, "You like to come up with new songs that some of us old-timers kind of have a hard time catching on to and really getting the message. Sounds pretty." But I said, if you stop and think about it, the hymns that we use in our congregation, in a year's time, some of them we just sing many times. Even though they're a couple hundred years old, we like them and we still keep singing them. And so I think you can call it the old, but it lives forever, so it's new as well. We don't get tired of it. We don't have to bring in new things. We can love the present. We can love that which has been here for hundreds of years. And we can embrace the word of God. And, all right, let's go back. I kind of lost my place here. In verse 13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Peter says the day's coming. The Lord has showed him that he has to put off this tabernacle, this shell. Then he says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Do you ever thank God for Peter's messages? It blessed me that Peter, after he repented, he came back to the Lord and he loved him. And the Lord gave him responsibility to write this, inspired him to write it. And because of that, we have it today. And I'm so blessed when he says this. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to still have these things in remembrance. I praise God for his word. And what a blessing as we think about that. All right, as I mentioned about Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fadeth, and the word of our God shall stand forever. The truth is the word of God. The word of God is truth. And the question is God our God? And I trust he is. Maybe some of you will be surprised when I read this. But Billy Graham, I'm not here endorsing everything that he did, but from what I have heard and read, I remember as a young boy going to the neighbors one Sunday afternoon. They did not go to church, but he would try to listen to the radio, a message on the radio, and that wasn't my purpose in going there. But when I got there, he was on his porch. This was back in probably early 50s, and he was listening to Billy Graham. And I remember him listening to Billy Graham, and tears were flowing down his cheeks. But I remember so well, I don't remember what Billy Graham all preached, but I do remember this. The Bible says he was a man that often would use the Bible and the Word of God. In some of the books I read, he emphasizes that, but I did copy this in one of his books. Billy Graham says this, God has spoken through a book, the Bible, God's Word. The Bible is a library of books, some long, some short, written over hundreds of years by many authors. Behind each one, however, was another author, the Spirit of God. And I'm blessed by that. Behind each author, there was another author, and that was God. And I believe it's God today that wants to work in and through us, through his Son, through his Holy Spirit, to mold us and shape us in a way that he can be glorified. Now I'd like to turn to Psalm 119. We're only scratching the surface as far as about the Word of God here in the Bible. But I'm always, I've often been blessed by Psalm 119. When I had a week of meetings, I often used that the first night. And anyhow, I recently saw where, and I just looked at a number of different scriptures, all of Psalm 119, every verse except two or three, I think, refers to the Word of God, precepts and different terms that it uses. But I saw in the budget recently of a dear brother that I know personally, not real well, that preached in a congregation, and he used Psalm 119, and he read the whole psalm. And he said he was very inspirational and a blessing. And so I'm going to be picking out just a few here at least that refer to the Word of God. Psalm 119 began reading in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. What a beautiful scripture. Young people, young men, young sisters, what a powerful invitation. Wherewithal shall a young man or a young woman cleanse his ways? And that goes for the gray heads and those in between as well. By taking heed according to thy word. My wife and I talk about this. We have many godly young people in our churches, but we have those also that are turning their back on the teachings. I'm here to tell you this morning, I've had, you're not supposed to preach a message before you preach it at home, I guess, but I haven't preached this one at home. But I've been preparing for quite some time. And just the blessing, you know, I don't want to be critical when I say this, but in the community where my father had actually started, and then he passed on when Robert and I were 9 and 12, my mother had a burden and a concern for her two young boys, fatherless, and she decided to move to another community where we still live today, when I was 14. And I often just stop and say, God, my mother's been gone since 1970. Just say, God, thank you that my mother, that our mother, brought us to that other community. I remember going to a store as a young boy, and two men were talking things that were not, I don't remember what they were, curse words or whatever it was. When they saw my young presence, they apologized. I wasn't used to that in the community where I had lived. And that was a blessing to me. And as I began to worship there in that community, I began to appreciate some of the goals that people had and why they moved their young people there because of the things that were happening. And so I thank God, even though I didn't have a father, so to speak, that God brought other people into my life to motivate me, encourage me, admonish me in the straight and narrow way. And I praise God for that. But it grieves my heart when I see young people take life in their own hands and say, we're going to do it, only to fail. Only to fail. And you know, I'm going to read a couple more verses. Verse 89. Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me. For I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Then in verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is truth from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Then 161 and 162. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I wanted to say this yet. I don't remember back to my birth, of course not, or the first years of my life. But as far as I know, I was taken to church from a young babe, and I'm still going every week. And it's not a sacrifice to quit working on Saturday and worship with the saints on Sunday. It's a command of God. It's a blessing. Young people, count it a privilege that your parents loved you enough. Some of you did not have that opportunity. I understand that. But the important thing is that we go from here. And if we're not right with God, then we get right with God. And we receive His word and His forgiveness and His cleansing. And we begin the journey of life. So I challenge you. We have young men in our congregation that have turned away. And how sad. Living with a married woman with children. It's sad. It not only grieves the parents and grandparents, it grieves the whole church. And I think we need to be. Some years ago, my wife and I were in Sugar Creek, Ohio, Holmes County. And as we came around the curve there into Sugar Creek, right up on the bank there, there was a big billboard. And some of you might have seen it. I understand it was, they made them take it down after some years. But to me, it was quite a message. As you came around the curve, there it was, right in front of your eyes. It had a picture of a young man. He was down on his knees, as I remember correctly, maybe. But it was also a picture of drugs, alcohol, and maybe even cigarettes, I believe. And then there was a few words on it. It says, "Learn to say no. It's your life." Learn to say no. It's your life. And I shared with some people about that. I think I asked to preach there in one of the churches there that Sunday morning. And I mentioned that. And I felt there was something behind that sign. A brother came to me after the service, and he said the man that was responsible for that sign, his mother wrote a poem. He said he shared with us one Sunday night and gave his testimony. And I've gotten that tape twice, and both times it's gotten away from me. But I do have the poem. And the last time that it was faxed to me was October the 11th, 2004. And so I'm going to read this. This young boy, I don't know that his father was living, but his mother had a tremendous burden for her son. And I remember right when he wanted to go out to the city to get work and get a job, she was very burdened for his heart, for his soul. And I think he took this poem and put it behind a picture somewhere so he wouldn't get lost. But I forget how many years later until he finally found it again. But the title of this is, "Have Courage, My Boy, to Say No." You are starting the day on life's journey, alone on the highway of life. You'll meet with 1,000 temptations, each city with its evil and rife. This world is a stage of excitement. There's dangers wherever you go. But if you are tempted in weakness, have courage, my boy, to say no. The siren's sweet smile may allure you. Beware of her cunning and art. When you see her approaching, be guarded and haste to depart. The billard saloons are inviting, decked out in their tinsel and show. But if you should be invited to enter, have courage, my boy, to say no. Be careful in choosing companions. Seek only the brave and the true. And stand by your friends when in trial. Never change the old for the new. And when by false friends you are tempted to taste a wine's cup to know. When firmness with patience and kindness, have courage, my boy, to say no. The bright sparkling wine may be offered, no matter how tempting it be. From poison that stings like an adder. My boy, have courage to flee. The gambling halls are before you. Their lights, how they dance to and fro. You may be invited to enter. Have courage, my boy, to say no. In courage alone lies your safety. When you the long journey begin, and trust in you, Heavenly Father, will keep you unspotted from sin. Temptations will go on increasing as streams from a riverlet flow. But if you are true to your manhood, have courage, my boy, to say no. Young men, young sisters, middle age, whatever age you are, we are faced with temptation. Let's have courage to say no. When we say no and we turn to God, we will win the battle. We'll make the journey. And the important thing is today, which direction you're going, which direction I'm going. What are my goals in life? In our community, it's a sad lot. One neighboring church, I think, have 4 women that bring their children to church with no husband. He's chosen other path. God helped him. How sad that is. My wife, now we found of another young man in another community had been part of our church. When I told my wife about it, she said, I conclude where they started going the wrong path is when they quit having their daily devotions. And I believe that's probably true. You know, when we start growing cold towards the Word of God and we think we can handle it on our own, we're down a slippery path. And we don't stop and think what pain it brings on our own life, what pain it brings on our children, our companion, or whoever. This morning, I'm not here to clobber you, so to speak, but I'm here to encourage all of us. We are living in the last days. And unless we embrace the whole Word of God, we won't make it. Someone has said this: if you are ignorant of God's Word, you will always be ignorant of God's will. They go together. You know, the Bible is God-breathed. Read it. Obey its teaching and commands to guide your life and to conduct you in your journey of life. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy again. Second Timothy chapter 3. You're going to be reading verse 12 and read this over again. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we'll skip down to verse 15. In that from a child thou hast known, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now I'd like to read the verse 1 and 2 of chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Shall we kneel before the Lord?